Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and in lieu of a guest, we usually talk to guests, but sometimes I embark on solo disquisitions about topics that are hopefully of prime interest. Today we're going to talk about the truth about Trump's physical exam. And this is a follow-up to an article that I wrote for our newsletter last week, and that we posted at drhoffman.com. So some of you like transcripts of some of these podcasts. You can't be bothered to listen, or you want to actually see it written down after you've listened. You can go to drhoffman.com, and you can capture most of the salient facts because we have a complete article on this subject. So in the wake of sending out our newsletter, we got a lot of positive comments, this week, and a lot of people wanted to post this article on social media because they felt it was the most in-depth and balanced discussion of the subject of Trump's physical. And but I'm going to share with you one comment from a listener who didn't leave his name or her name, and it says, "To Dr. Ronald Hoffman," it's an email. Subject, re-intelligent medicine, the truth about Trump's physical. "Why are you wasting your time on conjecture as to Trump's physical condition? I do not understand the point." Okay. And, you know, we don't always get unanimous raves. It's hard to interpret that comment. It's one of or the other of these possibilities. It's either that this person just simply loathes Trump to the point where he or she just doesn't want to hear anything about it. You know, it's like, don't go there. I'm trying to bury my head in the sand. There's enough Trump news and that I just don't want to. I don't want to go there at all. Or alternatively, this may be a Trump supporter who is mad about some of the speculation and conjecture based on fragmentary evidence about Trump's health. And they're tired of it. They think it's fake news. An example of which is some of the snarky comment that has been generated and has even spawned a new hashtag, which is hashtag girther, in reference to the birther movement about Barack Obama, you know, allegedly doubting his right to become president because he was born outside the country, so they say. And here, the doubt is a skeptical allusion to Trump's claim that he is a strapping 6'3" and a mere 239 pounds. Now, that's not exactly a lightweight, but especially people who think Trump is a habitual liar believe he's exaggerating his height and minimizing his weight. So they actually have an article in New York Magazine and elsewhere. Girther's memes say Trump lied about height and weight. Trump's physician is Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who we have no reason to suspect is partisan. He attended to two previous presidents, George Bush and also Barack Obama. And he hasn't revealed his political orientation, but he's a military guy. He sports a lot of fruit salad. That's those decorations and insignias on his uniform. He has pronounced Trump in, quote, excellent health. Now, what does that mean, excellent health? Well, I think you got to take that with a grain of salt, because from the standpoint of a presidential physical, It probably means that Trump is not likely to drop dead in the immediate future. So that constitutes, from the standpoint of a president, that's the duty of a military physician to basically pronounce him, quote, fit for office, and maybe not in excellent health, as we may come to understand it as health optimizers and listeners to Intelligent Medicine. But it's sort of in the tradition of concealment about presidential maladies. A classic example is FDR, who the vast majority of the country didn't even realize was paralyzed. And they used to prop him up at lecterns, and they used to do all kinds of shenanigans before the scrutiny of TV cameras. And the press in those days was very complicit because, well, it was a crisis time. It was the Depression, and then it was World War II. And yes, there were FDR haters, but in the spirit of patriotism, they concealed his disability because they thought this would confer a military advantage to the Axis to know that the president was in a dubious state of health and had very, very serious hypertension that ultimately led to him having an aneurysm before he completed his fourth term of office, resulting in Harry Truman having to take over the war effort in 1945. Another example, and there are many examples through history, if you go through the archives, of concealment of the facts about presidential health, is the situation with Woodrow Wilson, who was under tremendous stress after World War I ended, and he was trying to cobble together the Versailles Treaty, and then ultimately the Senate didn't approve that treaty, and it was a great strain and disappointment for him, and he had a stroke, and he was severely debilitated. In fact, it was said that for months, his wife took over the presidency, unbeknownst to the people of the United States. So these days we have a lot more visibility, a lot more transparency. And in the spirit of that, you know, I'd like to use Trump as sort of a case study to help us understand what some of these risk assessments mean or don't mean. Because we have some data, and we're trying to cobble it together. And on the one hand, you have people, commentators saying, well, Trump has, heart disease, severe heart disease. And on the other hand, you have this presidential physician, Dr. Ronny Jackson, who pronounces him in excellent health. So what's the deal? Well, it's a teachable moment for many of us, because some of us find ourselves in a predicament where we have some elements of risk, and we're wondering, you know, what does it mean? So let's look first at Trump's height and weight and his BMI, which is a crude assessment of whether a person is overweight. And if you plug in the numbers, and there are BMI calculators everywhere on the internet, so you can just plug in your height and weight, and it will yield a body mass index, which is a formula. And in his case, his BMI is 29.9. I believe 25 to 29.9 is overweight. So he's definitely in the overweight category. But he's just a shade below the cutoff for frank obesity, which is 30. But, you know, I got to say, I'm very wary of the BMI as a determinant of fitness because there are many examples. And this has actually been pointed out in the press, especially now with the football playoffs, Super Bowl looming, is that healthy, shredded, 6'3" NFL tight end could easily clock in at more than 239 pounds. There are some who are big guys who are 250 pounds plus of pure muscle, and you don't want to slam into one of those guys. They may have a very, very low body fat and a very, very high degree of fitness, and they're splendid athletes. So what is actually better, if you want to make an assessment, and this is, you know, pretty simple test. It's, I used to call it the $1.98 longevity test, is get a simple tape measure, Taylor's tape measure, and measure your waist, and then measure your hips, and divide the waist circumference by the hip circumference. And for men, it should be less than 1.0. And for women, it should be less than 0.8 or less than 0.75, Because if it's greater than those numbers, then you're at high risk for what's called cardiometabolic disease. Cardiometabolic means diabetes or heart disease, and often the two are accompanying one another. Or even simply, instead of going to the White House physician and having a one-hour press conference, just call up Trump's tailor and find out what his pant size is. And if it's a size 40 or above, it's particularly problematic because waist circumference has been deemed a better gauge of low-grade inflammation than BMI. And low-grade inflammation, of course, is associated with inflammation of the coronary arteries and body-wide degenerative disease, which can ultimately lead to risk of dying. But I got to say, the ultimate arbiter of fitness is a body composition test. And that's something that we do in the office quite frequently on patients. And it yields a lean-to-fat ratio, because you can actually have patients who are what are called TOFI, thin outside, fat inside. And by that I mean that they may appear externally normal, but they may have a high percentage of body fat, especially visceral body fat. And for some reason, this is particularly common in people of Asian extraction, that they may appear by Western standards to be of normal stature, not particularly fat or overweight, but they may have a cardiometabolic risk because they have not enough muscle and too much fat on a body composition test. Now, these tests can be done electronically. There's a lot of even home scales that yield a body composition. It's a new technology, and the most accurate way of determining that is through a scan where you go in a machine, or ultimately, and not too many people do this, but when I was a medical student, they were experimenting with this technique, is just, you know, get in a pool, they weigh, it's Archimedes' principle of, you know, weigh something in the water and outside the water, and it gives them the relative gravity that, or displacement of your body, and then you can actually deduce a body composition. That's kind of an unwieldy test. But anyway, okay, this is a good point at which to pause, because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So here goes. As a health-conscious person, you're going to love our new sponsor, Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, healthy eaters, and more. The Health IQ Advantage is their unique mortality model on the health-conscious and lower rates for health-conscious people, like a good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have unique underwriting that's tailored to the needs of the health-conscious, so things like having an adverse family history won't typically drive your rates up. You can actually qualify for up to 33% savings by doing things like taking a Health IQ quiz and scoring elite, having a membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year, and more. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Hoffman or mention the promo code Hoffman when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Even if you don't qualify, Health IQ will use their world-class underwriting team and shop the nation's top 30 carriers to get you the lowest retail rate in the market. So don't miss your chance to save up to 33% in your life insurance, and check out healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what makes this podcast, this Intelligent Medicine series, a free resource to you. So support our sponsors. And now back to our discussion of the truth about Trump's physical. Fit men should be 14 to 17% body fat. I consider men who are more than 25% body fat to be in trouble. Women, a little more allowance, because women have curves and women have more subcutaneous fat. They're allowed to have more. Women, optimally 21 to 24%. And women over 33%, over one-third body fat, are in trouble. And so we don't have that information for Trump. It could be very easily elicited if we wanted to come up with a better assessment of, what kind of shape is he in, you know? And then there's Trump's cholesterol, which was revealed. And it clocks in at a relatively high 223, which for the cardiology establishment is already an invitation to go on statins, right? Anybody walking around with a cholesterol over 200, they think is a candidate for statins. And he has an HDL of 67, which is actually relatively good for a male, because the average male HDL is about 45 or 50. And an LDL, the bad cholesterol, so-called, of 143. And lo and behold, he's already taking a low-dose statin, Crestor. And so his physician said, well, he's not taking enough, because we want to get that LDL under 130, which is a goalpost or guideline for someone who is simply has high cholesterol, but without smoking, diabetes, hypertension, or other risk factors. Now, if he had a lot of those things going on, say he was diabetic and hypertensive, then the goal would be less than 100. And if he'd already had a heart attack, the goal would be less than 70 for his LDL. You can get a very interesting, and I really encourage you to listen to this podcast. It's one of our best podcasts of this early year, 2018, with the, quote, LDL skeptic, Dr. David Diamond. And you can find that podcast at drhoffman.com. He is a real doubter about the significance of LDL, and shows statistics that show that LDL is not robustly associated with cardiovascular risk, or if it is, it's coincidental. And efforts to lower LDL artificially with cholesterol-lowering medications, he believes, are oversold, especially for an individual like Trump. And because Trump has not had a heart attack, he does not have severe coronary artery disease. We'll get to that in just a moment. He's never had angina. He's not had bypass surgery. He's not had a stent. And so that's called primary prevention. It's in order to prevent cardiovascular disease. That's actually one of the more controversial propositions in cardiology. And there's a lot of skeptics and naysayers. This is a hot area of controversy because the skeptics and naysayers are accused by standard medical doctors and proponents of statins of putting people at risk by sowing doubt about the utility of statins. But anyway, Dr. David Diamond has a very, very excellent critique on that. Also, he has some wonderful, wonderful VCasts and YouTube videos that you can view and hear some of his really outstanding lectures. He boils down the controversy beautifully. So what else we can say about Trump is that his HDL cholesterol is relatively high for a male, and that confers on him a favorable total cholesterol to HDL ratio of 3.3. Do the math. Divide 223 by 67, and you get slightly over 3. And that's actually considered a pretty good ratio, because under 4 is considered desirable. So, okay, we got numbers and we got measurements. So how do we know if this guy has heart disease? Well, you can use calculators, and they have something called the CV risk calculator, which you can find at www.cvriskcalculator.com. That yields an individual's 10-year risk of a cardiovascular event based on cholesterol scores and other basic stats. Now, in my opinion, it's not based on enough, because if I plug in my own cholesterol and, it's my cholesterol is a little high, but so is my HDL. This calculator is skewed towards rendering an opinion that virtually everyone needs a statin. And especially if you're a male and you're past a certain age, they think it's a pretty good idea you're gonna need a statin. So using this calculator, Trump is assigned a 10-year risk of a cardiovascular event of 16.7%. And the cutoff is, they say, if you have more than a 10% risk of cardiovascular disease, and using this calculator virtually everyone does, unless, you know, maybe you're an 18-year-old female with a great cholesterol, you know, then you don't have a great cardiovascular risk according to that calculator. But if you're, you know, a middle-aged or older guy, Even if your cholesterol's not that bad and your HDL's kind of decent like Trump's is, they're going to assign you a fairly high risk. So his risk is 16.7% of having a cardiovascular event in the next 10 years. Now, you're going to say, well, wait a minute. That guy, he's sitting on the precipice. You know, that's a high risk. I mean, if this were a plane and the risk of the plane crashing was 16.7%, you'd never get on the plane, right? But you got to look at it the other way. Sounds pretty dire, but you have to consider the converse. If this assessment is correct, and he has a 16.7 or roughly cut, you know, rounded off, 17% risk of some kind of heart event. And a heart event doesn't mean death. It means a heart attack or having, you know, needing a stent or needing a bypass surgery. In the next 10 years, Trump's already 71. And if he can make it to 81 without suffering a heart attack, that's actually pretty good. Well, they, you know, if he's got a 70% risk of having a problem in the next 10 years, he also has an 83% chance of not having a problem by the advanced age of 81. Pretty much par for the course for men is some kind of heart problem. I mean, it's really sort of average for men to have heart issues by the time they hit their 80s. And maybe it's not some of our conscientious, health-conscious, intelligent medicine listeners, but it's worth noting that Bill Clinton, who's exactly the same age as Trump, 71, has already undergone triple bypass surgery for blocked arteries. And if you want an example of someone who has been in high office, who really has premature cardiovascular disease, you can look no further than former Vice President Dick Cheney. He had his first heart attack at age 37. He had four more subsequently, yet he was still considered fit for high office. He's now 76, and he's had all kinds of heart interventions. I think he's on a left ventricular assist device, something to help the pumping action of his heart, because he's had so much damaged heart muscle that he's required. He's a cardiologist's dream, you know, in terms of, you know, all the things that have been done to him. So we divide these podcasts into two parts. In part two, I want to talk about something which is near and dear to my heart, which is the coronary artery calcium score. Okay? Because, you know, we talked about potential risks and statistics, and we have not had a window into his heart. We haven't been able to look at his coronary arteries, but unique among modern presidents, and I don't recall a president who's ever divulged this, not even Barack Obama, is that Trump has had a series of EBT heart scans, which have yielded coronary artery calcium scores, which provide us with a look inside his coronary arteries, which is much more telling because we have some, I mean, I have patients in my practice who have women, especially, who have cholesterols over 300, never can get them below 300, and they have zero coronary artery plaque, which means they have virtually no likelihood of coronary artery disease in the near or even relatively distant future. And conversely, I've got some folks who have relatively low cholesterol 160, 150, and they have lots of coronary artery plaque. And these are people who might be raw food vegans with very low cholesterol. But cholesterol, according to a recent study, fully one-third of the people who have coronary artery disease resulting in the need for intervention have no risk factors by current standards. They have normal cholesterol. They don't have, you know, if you do that risk calculator, they don't meet the criteria for that. So the moral of that story is, well, more people need to be on statins. You know, just put it in the drinking water. Everybody needs to be on statins because we're missing some people. Well, I say the moral of the story is that using cholesterol and some of those standard measurements to determine risk can be illusory in terms of telling us where people are headed. So in part two, let's talk about Trump's coronary artery calcium scores and what the meaning of those are. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.